Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Lee Breschneit, and today I am pleased to herald the return of our Trivial Traveler, the Master Fact Blaster. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the whiz bang quiz kang, Mark Davis!
How long did it take you to write all that?
Dude, I just wrote that in like a second, man.
Well, that was beautiful.
Thanks, man. Welcome back to the United States, sir.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Your trip sounded and looked like a blast. Is it true, Mark? Did you indeed have fun on your trip to the British Isles?
You'll be surprised to know that I had a really good time not working for 10 days and drinking pints of Guinness and other various spirits.
I expected you to come back with an accent, but not this particular accent. You sound like fucking Isaac Hayes.
Well, pulling back the curtain a little bit, it is a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm. Here we are a Saturday morning.
I played music last night in a smoky bar for an hour at 1 in the morning.
Living that life.
So there's that. And then I also caught a little bit of the traveler's flu. So, you know, it's
you
a variety
the travel
of things.
Bug.
I got the travel bug with August Lint.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did you pick up any trivia while you were over there?
Boy, did I.
Yeah. Did you have like a little notebook or anything or
so
mental notebook?
We, for the fans, for the listeners,
mm-hmm. let's not oversell it. They're listeners, maybe right? fans, maybe yeah. fans.
We flew into Dublin. We were there for a couple days. We flew to Edinburgh and then we, were there for 2.5 days or so, and then we took a train down to London, and pretty much every place we had gone to, we went did like a hop-on, hop-off tour that was just rife with information about authors and, you know,
wow,
all kinds of stuff. So there was that. There was also a trivia game on the airplane, because the flight from New York City to Dublin and back is a 6-hour flight.
Woo!
So, yeah, you know, you end up looking for some stuff to do.
Yeah.
So they have these little on-screen games that you could play. You could play like Texas Hold'em Poker and blah, 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 blah. And one of the things was trivia. And I didn't realize it on the flight going there, but on the flight coming back, I was like, oh, they got trivia. And went through it. There's like 5 rounds, 16 questions each round, which sounds as a quiz master like hell. So I got yeah. loads of questions from that. And actually ended up getting the high score.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Out of and I don't think it was just from that flight either. I don't know how long. I wanted to ask how far back these scores went, and I asked one of the stewardesses, and she was like, I don't know.
No one's ever asked that question before.
Please leave. It's like, you just got done with a 10-day vacation, and you're going to ask me about the high score on the trivia game on the back of the headrest.
So, not a typical question. Not a lot of trivia. You know, next time you're on a plane, by the way, just ask your flight attendant if there's a trivia option during the flight. Who did you fly, if you don't mind? Who's got trivia?
Aer Lingus.
If you're going overseas and you want some trivia, well, just download our podcast and listen to that.
Don't yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Right? But if you want to play, if you need some kind of electronic feedback to your answers, I guess you could do that. Or you could check out our YouTube channel. But I have to ask you, Mark, when you were in Dublin, did you order a 1-in-1 by chance?
I did not.
You did not. Did you ask anybody? I think we've mentioned it on the podcast before. The podcast. There's a trivia question I stumbled across that was like, in Dublin, a 1-in-1 is fish and chips. But I've asked people that live in Ireland, not necessarily Dublin, but they've been to Dublin. They've never heard that before. Did you hear anything about this? Can you confirm or deny this?
I didn't look it up. And I had stumbled across the same question. I can't remember where.
Yeah, it's on probably like a, you know, top 1000 trivia questions list or something like that. Whenever you just Google trivia, it's like in that.
Now, there is a 2-in-1 and a 3-in-1, because there was a drunk girl in Dublin who was telling me that it's like chips or their French fries with different amounts of stuff on it. So it's like when it's chips and something, I can't remember what the one addition is, but then it was like curry, like they're very big on curry,
yeah,
and chili and stuff like that. So it was like with a curry sauce, it was a 3-in-1, and then chicken balls was the fourth thing that made it a 4-1.
So I have to ask, that's not chicken testicles, right? That's chicken formed
balls
in the...
of chicken mash, probably. So there's a 2-1,
yeah,
which is chips and something.
Yeah.
There is a 3-1, which is chips, curry sauce.
This sounds like a 1-1 might be a thing then.
It does.
Even, it's just, we don't know. So fish and chips, maybe just some like bland white fish on potato chips.
Yeah,
French fries.
Absolutely.
I guess it's fries. It's what we know as French fries, right?
Yeah.
You
and they have crisps. That's what they call their potato chips.
Gotcha. Yeah, I remember you mentioning that you were trying deliberately not to pick up too much lingo.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to come back, but it was funny because Mikey J, Patreon supporter.
Yes, Patreon supporter. Mikey J.
Yeah, he saw him like taking a picture, and I was like, "What the fuck are you taking a picture of?" He's like, "It says crisps." It's like, but I was doing the same exact shit. It's like, oh, weird. Look, it says Lyft. And like, I like took a picture where it says Mind the Gap and stuff. I'm like, it really says
that. So you feel weird about that? You feel weird about like taking pictures and absorbing the culture in a way?
Who wants to be that tourist? I mean, like,
that part of the point of traveling is to absorb the culture?
It is, but no one wants to like...
be so conspicuous about it.
Yeah. You don't want to look like, you know, like, you know, in the 80s, they always had the super stereotypical Asian tourist with the Hawaiian shirt and the camera around the neck and the blah 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 blah. And, you know, you don't
usually
wanna...
played by a white guy doing an impression of an Asian person.
Yeah, something terrible. But you know, like everybody wants to get that input. Everybody wants to get those pictures and have that.
Yeah.
But no one wants to be the person that everybody's looking at going. Like we went to an Auntie Anne's.
So did
which
you did
I
you
work.
Immediately ban like you weren't using any of the local slang? You were just trying to like stay as American as possible.
You know, everybody says cheers instead of saying thank you.
Yeah.
And I
you did
just
not say
couldn't
cheers.
Bring myself to do it. No.
Oh man.
I just said thank you, which is funny because Nevin, who is a local musician and one man powerhouse.
Yeah, IFB Records.
He says cheers.
Yeah.
He went on tour a couple times in Europe and stuff, and now he says cheers like exclusively. Whenever you talk to him about it, he's like, cheers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't come off as corny. It comes off as, you know, like...
Yeah, I feel like that was adopted into kind of Americanized slang at one point. Maybe with the bar cheers.
Well, I mean, when here, cheers is me and you clinking glasses. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, the other weird thing they always do, they always say, this happened a lot in Edinburgh, I think. They always say, like, whenever you would go somewhere, they'd say, you're very welcome to the Edinburgh Castle.
You're very welcome
to be here. They don't just say welcome to the castle. They say, you are very welcome. Mm,
yeah. I don't know if that's weird. I might describe that more as curious.
Okay.
That's curious, isn't it?
I'd say curious and weird are pretty synonymous, but...
See, right. So you wouldn't do that accent if you were over there. You didn't do any British accents while you were over there.
No, only in private with Mikey when I was just like joking about something. But yeah, no, I wasn't going around trying to like sound like with a Cockney slang or something.
I feel like when British people come to America, they have this kind of instant charm factor, you know, mainly because of the accent. Do you think that happens in reverse? Did you find that people were like drawn to you like, oh, it's an American? Or
Yeah. There were definitely people that were like, oh, where are you from?
Yeah.
And it was funny because before we went there, I had a couple of people tell people you're Canadian. Do not tell people you're from the United States because, well, because the political climate being what it is. And again, not to get political, but there are so many people that have issues with certain people in our political system.
Right.
Anyway.
Last question yes. for you. Are you going to be asking any of the trivia today on the podcast from your trip that you
yes.
picked up from your trip? Ooh, interesting.
I'm going to tell you. Well,
I can't
we'll
wait.
Get into it. Yeah, yeah.
I
so,
can't wait.
A little
right.
bit.
Well, it's good to have you back in the studio, my friend.
And you guys did a great job. Seth, thank you very much again for filling in for me. You had told me some other people were going to fill in. So imagine my surprise when it was Seth on the podcast.
It was all there was schedule changes at the last second. And Seth was the guy to come to the rescue.
He's a good man.
I hit him up and he came over and he had most of his questions prepared. He was like, I just need about 10 minutes just to wrap up my notes. And I said, have a seat, my friend.
Perfect. You know?
And it was great to have Seth on. Shout out to Seth. Before we get into this week's questions, let's take a look, though, at our weekly wrap up. First of all, shout out to the Moist Men, Moist Feratu, for coming
Ooh.
Out to multiple events this week. They were giving it their all. And the one-man team, the Factoidal Phenom, I got a lot of nicknames this week.
Oh, yeah.
Known far and wide as the Team Slayer, Seth.
Wow.
Seth took the number one spot at both Three Pepper Burrito Company on Monday night and Bury Me Brewing Company on Wednesday night with 60 and 71 points, respectively.
I like to believe now that this has gotten so built up that he wakes up in the morning and just does trivia all day long. It's like one large montage.
He's putting in the hours. He's at least 4 hours a week playing trivia if he just, you know, comes to the two events.
Yeah.
So he's putting in the time, and as you can see, it's paying off. At number three, Craft Brews and Beer Bar this week, this exchange rate is killing us, eh? Took the top spot with 37 points. I will be asking the final question to you that everybody got wrong and wagered on. They happened to wager the least, so they won.
By the way, the exchange rate?
Yeah, it did
preposterous.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Oh, man. Well, aptly named then. Aptly named team. Congratulations to them. Thank you to all the teams that came out to play No Nonsense Trivia Challenge this week in Southwest Florida. Shout out to those teams, if you missed it. Upcoming events include No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Monday, October 15th at Three Pepper Burrito Company, downtown Fort Myers, Florida. A special two-hour edition of No Nonsense Wednesday, October 17th at Bury Me Brewing Company. And Thursday, October 18th at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral. You can find more information about all of our live events, including two new special events. We've got the Horror Movies Trivia at Bury Me on October 30th, and then No Nonsense Trivia Books Edition, all literature edition, November 13th at Macintosh Books out on Sanibel, Florida.
I can't wait to pick your brain a little bit about what you plan on doing for that.
Yeah, I've got because I do have a game plan.
Yeah,
I've started laying it out. Started laying it out. All of the No Nonsense events, all of them are free to play. You can win prizes. Just check out the full event schedule on nononsensetrivia.com. Join us, won't you?
You know, you didn't give me a chance to do my wrap up.
My bad. I'm sorry.
You just steamrolled, and it wasn't until you're halfway through that ending spiel where I go, wow, you know what? You're just going right through it.
You know what it was? I copied the template from last week, and you weren't here, so I did the whole wrap up last week.
Wow.
So,
what tricky things transpire when you're using a pre-written script, huh?
I know, yeah, but you got to do it.
Well, the do show you? Would, well, here I go off the cuff.
Okay.
Wednesday. So Wednesday, woke up. I got about 2 or 3 hours of sleep.
Oh, this sounds off the cuff. Got woke the whole up, day here.
Woke up after a night of final night in London drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Flew from Dublin or London to Dublin.
Jet setter.
Dublin to New York.
Mm-hmm.
New York to Fort Myers.
Intercontinental flights.
Got into Fort Myers at 6:30 p.m. Yeah. Got driven home. Kristen, shout out. Thank you. Fletcher, I hope you're feeling better. And got my questions ready and immediately drove to Nice Guys. That is what we call trivia dedication. That is the life of a quizmaster. That is what we do. That is, you're laughing, but that's love. That's love.
Yeah, it is love. You're right. I just want, this is beautiful what he's doing, and I want clean audio, so I'm going to try not laughing.
So Nice Guys, I basically rolled right in with questions in tow. The winner of the whole night was a team called Hey Siri, Call Mom, with 34 points. I will tell you, the first round of my trivia, I think we had like 7 or 8 teams. Only 2 teams got points. The winner of the first round got 8 points. So the first round was impossible.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So I'm going to throw a couple of those questions at you.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, okay. Thanks for letting me know they're going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Do you feel bad about that as a quiz master? Nope. Like, just having a round where only 20% of the team score any points?
I felt
that's
maybe
acceptable
like 2% bad. I mean, if it was the whole game was like that, mm-hmm. but again, like you never know what people do and don't know. There were some questions where I thought people had like a chance to, to guess and get something, but it did not go very well.
You have a chance is what he's saying.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for that weekly wrap up. What was that team's name? Siri, what?
Hey Siri, Call Mom.
All right. That's an okay team name, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe I'm making a bunch of people's iPhones call their mom right now. Make sure you talk to her. Tell her to listen to our podcast.
Yes, call your mom and tell her about the podcast. That's a wrap-up on the weekly wrap-up. That's a wrap-up.
That's a double wrap.
I'm going to take a short break, followed by our first round of trivia.
Boop, 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 boop. Oh, my voice is so shot.
This was the episode I was going to put new music in. All
well,
right.
Well, now you can't.
We're back here in round number one. Before we get into our questions, special thank you once again to our very own Rumpelsnailskin, Mikey J, and our proverbial lightkeeper, Lucas D.
Thank you.
If you'd like to join them in supporting the podcast, just visit our website, nononsense.fireside.fm, and click support.
We were just able to buy a nice box of paper clips to hold our papers together.
You ordered those? I didn't approve that order.
Sorry. Staples dropped off a truck of 50 cases of medium-sized paper clips this morning.
That was all our Patreon money. We gotta sort this out and get a budget together. No, we are about halfway to our goal of paying for the hosting fees. So if you'd like to support the podcast and get us to zero on that, you know, we're just like basically $10 away. So a very, very small number of individuals could make that happen.
Indeed.
I'd also like to announce that we're hosting actually our first ever giveaway on the No Nonsense Trivia podcast this week.
This is news to me. This is how fresh this is.
It's hot off the presses.
Hot off the presses.
All you have to do is like our page, either on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Make a post about the show and use the hashtag No Nonsense Trivia. At the end of the week, by next week's episode, we'll randomly select a winner to win our new t-shirt.
Oh, man. And they are swank shirts. If you haven't seen them, they are beautiful.
Very comfortable. Tri-blend shirt.
Yeah, the tri-blend, yes.
It's red with cartoon portraits of myself and Mark. That's the name of the podcast.
So I took a picture of myself at Abbey Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make it my profile picture so bad, but I couldn't make myself change my profile picture on Facebook because right now it's the picture that you drew of cartoon me, mm-hmm. and I don't want to change it.
Oh, damn. Thanks,
as,
man.
As long as you have yours, I feel like I should have mine.
We are brothers in this.
So I'm like waiting for you to change yours so I can make it. I'm like, this is me at the, you know, the cover art.
Yeah. So it's got the pictures of us on the shirt.
Indeed.
And if you'd like to take a look or commit early and just order one outright, you can see it in the show notes for this episode. But as I stated, we will be giving one of these shirts away this week. To enter, just post about the podcast on social media. Use the hashtag NoNonsenseTrivia.
That's us.
Okay, let's get into our questions. Mark, I'll offer the first one to you if you'd like.
Sure.
Or I can ask you. Okay.
So this is one that I know you will get right.
Nice.
Okay. That no one else got.
Whoa, okay.
In comics, Kane Marco became what supervillain after reading an inscription on the Gem of Sidorak?
This, I feel, is a underrated character that hasn't really been done justice in the movies until very recently in the movie Deadpool 2. The character in question is the Juggernaut.
I like that you added the in there. Yes, it is the Juggernaut.
The Juggernaut, yeah.
The Juggernaut. Stepbrother.
Mm-hmm.
Of Professor Xavier.
That's correct. Most people assume that Kane Marco is a mutant, but as you mentioned, he read the inscription and was imbued with power by the Gem of Sidorak.
Yeah, and I actually mentioned at Trivia,
this is a Marvel character, by the way, if you're totally unfamiliar with comics.
And he exists largely in the X-Men universe, yeah. Which is, like you said, all mutant-based. His stepbrother's a mutant, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So people just kind of automatically assume, and they're wrong.
Mm-hmm. And there's also, there's a good comic, a good one-shot, if you want to read a Juggernaut one-shot called, I think it's called What If Juggernaut Was the Last Man on Earth or something like that.
Huh.
And, it's basically like the tragedy of being the Juggernaut is kind of takes that idea to its logical end.
I've ran through everything.
Yeah, exactly, pretty much. And now I'm left with my own loneliness.
Guess I'll just run into the Great Wall over and over again.
Always running. All right. I have a literature question for you.
Ooh, I got a literature question for you, too, Mikey, you book
Mikey
bastard.
J wrote in. He said he wanted more literature questions as a Patreon supporter.
Okay.
I just sent him a message, and I said, yo, thanks, man. Is there anything that you'd like us to cover? He said a little bit more literature questions would be nice, so I wanted to throw this one in there for him. Here it is.
Terrible at literature, so let's just see how dumb I am.
All right. Here it is. Who was known for their coffee drinking in the book Moby Dick? What character was known for their coffee drinking in the book Moby Dick?
I know like three characters' names. There's of course Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
There is of course Captain Ahab.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's interesting that you pronounce it that way. Most people say Ahab.
Do they? Do they? Oh, I'm sorry.
You made me doubt myself on...
That's my,
yeah.
that's my trip to
London. You're getting too comfortable, man, over here in America. I'm doing voices like that. Offensive voices.
There's someone named Queequeg. As a small aside, we did a halftime show in marching band called Of Sailors and Whales, which was a five-movement piece based on characters and the story of Moby Dick, and I urge people to listen to it. It's really good.
Wow.
If you like.
What's it called?
It's called Of Sailors and Whales.
Okay.
At the time,
if we find it, we'll put it on the page now.
At the time, we joked about it because it was weird that we were doing classical music for a halftime show for football, but it stood the test of time in my heart.
It's interesting. It sounds like procrastination on this question, though.
Well, I mean, my gut kind of wants to say Ahab,
mm-hmm,
because he's the one that's all fucking nutsy about trying to kill this whale.
Yeah, this question was posed to me, actually, and by glass artist Conrad Williams, beautiful glass, glass blower. And that was my guess, was that it's Captain Ahab. It's not Captain Ahab.
I'm going to say Queequeg.
Okay.
Because it's a name I know.
It's not him either. The correct answer is Starbuck. Starbuck. Yep.
I'm an idiot.
That's the one that everybody was kicking themselves on. I think two teams.
I'm a fucking idiot. I knew that.
I asked that at two events and two teams got that one right.
God damn it.
The Seattle founded coffee house considered using the name Pequod, which was Captain Ahab's, Captain Ahab's whaling ship before settling on Starbucks.
Yeah.
Which was a play on
Jesus
the Pequod's
Christ.
Chief mate, Starbuck.
Motherfuck.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's put that behind me and let me ask you literature question now? Should we just bang it out, boom, boom?
Yeah.
Or should I
Let's go for a twofer.
Okay.
A double.
What does in the name, oh boy, you know, just noises all over the place. That's my alarm. In the name W.B. Yeats, what does W.B. stand for?
WB stands for,
it is not Warner Brothers.
I was gonna say Warner Brothers. WB. WB Yeats. Well, I don't know this. Nothing. I'm going to my WB Yeats file. Was he a poet or was he a fiction? This is how unfamiliar I am with him. I recognize the name.
He was a poet, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeats. Wonder Bra. Oh, okay. Oh, thank you. Irish.
Irish. Hello.
Can
you tell where I got this question from?
Well, Wonder Bra's not bad then, because Aaron Go Bra, right? Bra. William,
yeah.
Bra. William Bra Yeats.
What's up, Bra?
Yo, what's up, Bra? What's up, Bra Yeats?
Dude, your friendship's a wonder, Bra.
I've got nothing on this one. William, let me keep going. William, Irish B. So, did you visit, something related to W.B. Yeats?
I'm on the bus tour. We
okay.
stopped by, like, I don't even, so, I was building over here, W.B. Yeats. You know, work there as a file clerk.
Ah, okay.
All right.
When he was back when he was going by William Butthead Yeats. I don't know it. What is it?
You were so close.
Yeah.
William Butler Yeats. William Butler Yeats.
William Butler Yeats. Maybe I did learn that at one point.
Yeah.
And that's the weird thing about memory is, you know, sometimes you just dump things that you think are useless, you know, but there is no true recycling bin or bin to take out in the brain. That information might still be there.
Just gets rewritten like a hard drive. But unless
you can defrag that shit if you think about it, if you go to your dark place.
Yeah, as long as something isn't written over it.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Which Beavis and Butthead got written over the Butler Yeats. Okay.
Your brain was like, oh, great. Butt's already here. Yeah. We'll just put head on the end instead of lure. Good enough.
Okay. So this next question, I have to I'm just going to ask it to you first.
Okay.
And then I have to apologize to the teams that I ask it to live.
Okay.
Because this is the revised version.
All right.
Twyla Tharp. Are you familiar with that name, Twyla Tharp?
I am. She's an artist or something, I think.
She's a choreographer.
Okay. Yeah.
She premiered her ballet, Deuce Coupe, on February 8th, 1973, tracing the full range of steps to the music of what California music group? It's called the ballet is called Deuce Coupe.
Yeah. It seems too obvious because it makes me think of Little Deuce Coupe.
Mm, yeah. Oh, that's exactly.
My voice is so shot. So I'm going to go with the Beach Boys.
That's correct. It is the Beach Boys. But I will tell you.
How did you fuck this up?
I will tell you. First of all, I'm going to say everybody got it right. Except for Seth. This was the one question
he
got wrong.
Are you serious?
He got wrong, but...
What did he put?
He put the Eagles. But okay. This is my fuck up. Okay. This is my fuck up. I incorrectly, instead of Deuce Coupe, I called it Dance Coup. I thought it was called Dance Coup. The first source of this question had it mislabeled Dance Coup, and it was only when I was researching some background information later that I realized that it was called Deuce Coupe.
That
is a big hint.
I'm sure Seth was...
Yeah, he might be fuming now. Yeah.
Devastatingly angry right now.
There's a little bit of video on YouTube that you can see of Deuce Coupe. We'll put that in the show notes for this description.
Fantastic. All right. Here is your third question. What medical condition is also known as Daltonism? It's the last name of a person who suffered from it.
Mm.
What Daltonism. Medical condition is alternately known as Daltonism?
Yeah. Hmm. Dalton. So I'm thinking of Timothy Bond, I almost said. Timothy Dalton, the actor.
It always makes me think
good
of Dalton.
Hair? Is
Dalton
good hair Wilcox. The answer? is it having good
no,
hair?
No.
Like Timothy Dalton? Okay. Now, you visited a place that had mummified remains while you were overseas.
I did.
Is this where you picked that up?
Nope.
Okay. There's a the Mutter Museum in Philadelphia.
Which I've been to.
Yeah. That has
the largest collection of things that have been pulled out of people's stomachs.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. They also have
a bunch of buttons.
They have some evidence remains from the Lincoln assassination, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I went there forever. Like I was in like my early 20s.
This sounds like a fact that you could maybe learn from a place like that. I didn't know if the mummified remains place was like that.
Right. No, this is just something I just picked up along the way.
Okay. They picked up the mummy?
they must have done something. They had to get it out of there somehow.
Someone sold it to them, probably.
Yo, pick up this mummy with me, bro.
I wonder how much a mummy goes for.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of mummy.
It's October, folks. And we love eating popsicles and reading the jokes on the sticks. Daltonism. I can't think of any other association with Dalton right now other than Timothy Dalton. Am I missing something here? Did you know this? Is this something you would know?
This is a hard question.
Oh, okay. This is one
it
that
is
nobody
just
got
hard
right.
Question.
Gotcha. I'm not sure.
No one got this
I'm leaving. Right. Can you ask the question one more time so I can actually have a guess?
Yeah. What medical condition is also known as Daltonism?
Macular degeneration, maybe a vision problem.
Can you be more specific?
Cataracts? Am I close?
You got so close.
What is this? What is this? Why am I...
Color blindness.
Oh, man. I'm disappointed I didn't know that, actually.
Color blindness.
I worked on a video game once called Temple of Yogg, and I took great care when designing the UI and the system. I did the artwork on the game to make sure that it was colorblind compatible.
Do you listeners see this?
Well, I had a friend...
What a good guy.
I had a friend... that we would play FIFA every week, me and a couple buddies, and he couldn't be the green, or was it the green? Yeah, I think he couldn't be the green player because even though it was a different shade of green than the field, for his colorblind vision, he couldn't distinguish what was his player and what was just a random CPU-controlled player, so he had to be blue or I think red. We ended up giving him red. So I always thought about Joe when I was working on that game, like making sure that, you know, this is a game that at least Joe could play.
Huh. That's fascinating.
Daltonism. Is that a general? Because there's also various types of color blindness too. There's like,
I think
two,
it's just kind of the overarching color blindness writ large.
Also, another thing about I can't remember the exact figure, but I think men are like a couple times more likely to be colorblind than women are.
Pretty fascinating.
Interesting. Genetic fact. Okay, so here is your third question. This is a art history question, and this is an interesting story that I feel like a lot of people don't know.
Okay.
Here it is. What Renaissance artist, and I'm going to hold the hints from you.
Okay.
And I might give those to you later. What Renaissance artist suffered a facial disfigurement at the age of 17? This is before a lot of his popular work was made, after a rival artist punched him in the face out of pure jealousy and annoyance. What Renaissance artist suffered a facial disfigurement at the age of 17 after a rival artist punched him in the face out of jealousy and annoyance? Let me know when you want those works. I'll let you.
I'm just going to guess.
Oh, okay. You don't want
the. I mean, did you ask hints of the? Did you give these hints?
And everybody got it, but I think it's because of the hints.
So you're not doing the easiest to hardest anymore. You know, you're really throwing me the fuck off.
I know, man. I'm sorry. I
making
can't,
promises you
if
can't
you were
keep.
To go, if you were to go to a trivia event, it would be boring if they were the same like structure, categories, format every
so
single
you
time.
Just
you
decided,
gotta switch it up a little bit.
So you just decided to renege.
I did it that one time, really. I did it that
fair
one
enough.
Time. Just
fair
episode,
enough.
I said I was going to do it that way in one episode. All bets are off at this
My
point.
My fear is that you're going to give me the works... And I'm not going to know who it is. And I would rather just get it wrong without the hints.
I see. Well, all right. I'm going to give you the hints.
Go ahead.
I'm going to give you the hints. The Statue of David and the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Okay, so those aren't giving it to you?
I know this.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's Michelangelo.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Yeah.
Which is fine. I was going to guess Da Vinci at first.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So,
yeah,
all right, good.
At the age of 17, Michelangelo worked at Bertoldo di Giovanni's. He worked as his apprentice, as did fellow contemporary Pietro Torrigiano.
Of course.
The nice thing about that accent is that you can draw it out to make sure you're getting every syllable right. And it was Pietro who punched Michelangelo, resulting in a broken nose that is clearly reflective of every portrait of Michelangelo.
What a dick.
Yeah, he just he really just thought that he was obnoxious and conceited. And, yeah.
Well, you said out of jealousy, like, ooh,
well,
you fucking carved that
it was,
so fucking good.
It
you
was
ass.
All of the above, man. It was that too.
Oh.
I don't know if they'd gotten into school. They were still apprentices, but there was, resentment and jealousy there.
Apprentice. We're going to take a quick break.
Uh-huh.
And then
yeah,
we're totally going to come back with round two. guess who's back? Back again.
No nonsense. Tell a friend. And you can win a free t-shirt.
There you go.
Yeah. Look at you. Hashtag no nonsense trivia on social media. We're going to cruise that hashtag and send out a t-shirt and after we announce the winner next week. But before we get started with our round two questions, we do have some missed corrections.
Missed corrections.
All right, we got a few missed corrections from the last episode. First of all, self-missed correction. I incorrectly stated that Chris Novoselic, bass player from the band Nirvana, served public office, maybe as a state senator or something. I don't know where I got this inclination from. I looked it up, and here's the scoop on the political career of the Washingtonian. In 2004, he publicly talked about running for lieutenant governor of Washington, but he never officially entered the race. And then in 2009, he ran for Waukecum County Clerk as a member of the fictional Grange Party. It was a protest run designed to show how ludicrous the state's election laws were, and he dropped out before the election. So apologies about that. I definitely gave him too much credit on his follow-through for political office. Also, Seth wanted us to mention that the National Statuary Hall, where a statue of the famous Floridian and refrigeration patent owner John Gorey resides, is in fact inside of the Capitol building. If you're in our nation's capital and want to check it out, it's located just south of the rotunda. Those are the missed corrections for this episode.
How fantastic.
Yeah. All right. So I will ask you the first question this round.
All righty. Sounds good. I'm ready.
A bogus was an early 19th century machine used to do what? A bogus.
To produce Bill and Ted sequels.
That is where the phrase became a little bit more popular in current times.
Bogus.
First in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
1982. Yeah.
1982, got the year and everything.
Yep.
Can you repeat the question one more time?
I will. A bogus was an early 19th century machine used to do what?
An early 19th century machine used to do what? Knowing that bogus generally, from what I know, means fake, I'm going to say to counterfeit money.
You're so right.
That's
correct. Yep.
Holy shit. Good job.
That's exactly how you do it, folks. That's how you do it. That's how you handle a question that you don't know. You break it down into the little parts that you do know, and then you fucking come through just like Mark did.
And then you fuck it.
Yeah.
You get on it. You just fucking get on it and you fuck it.
There's some argument as to the origin of the word bogus. Some think it's derived from the word boogeyman. Or something like that. Some people think it comes from bogo, which is a West African tribal word for to fake, or the French derivation bogu. But the first documented use of the word is to describe a bogus, is a counterfeit coin machine. The phrase went from "Hey, that's a bogus coin," to simply "That's a bogus."
Till bogus, bro.
Bogus. So that is that's what bogus means. If you want to use it literally, just start faking money and be like, hey, I made some boguses.
Boom. All right, here's your first question. Mm-hmm. In what early 90s film would you find the character Oda Mae Brown?
Early 90s film.
Character.
Uh-huh.
Oda Mae Brown.
Oda Mae Brown. Can you give me any more hints about this movie?
I could.
It's not coming.
I'll tell you that it's from 1990.
Okay. Oda Mae. Oda Mae Brown. 1990.
Yeah. I mean, I can give you hints.
So I'm five at this point. And it came out 1990. Oda Mae. Oda Mae. Can you give me a director or a writer? Something like that?
Yeah, if you give me a second, okay. I can look it up.
Nothing is coming to mind right now. I'll ask you this too. Have you asked about this question previously on the podcast? Have you asked about the subject of this question?
No.
Okay.
Not that I can think of.
Oda May. Oda May Brown.
Directed by Jerry Zucker.
Jerry Zucker. Man.
Mother Zucker.
Oh, man. I'm blanking on him right now, too. I feel like I just looked at a movie that he directed. I feel like I was just on his IMDb. Oda May Brown. I was thinking maybe that's the I was going to say, I was thinking maybe it's the main character in Driving Miss Daisy, but that would, of course, be Miss Daisy. Not Miss Oda Maisie.
Well, I was thinking maybe you thought that was Morgan Freeman's character. Hello, Oda. Daisy. Oh, it's me, Oda May Brown.
Oda. I don't know, man. Is it... I feel like the year... No. See, I don't know. 1990, that's so close to the 80s. Is it...
You're good.
Is it... Yo, know, I'm real good. I'm trying to break it down like you did bogus, asshole.
I got you. I'm fucking with
you. Can I ask if this movie stars Oprah?
It does not.
Okay, so it's not The Color Purple. Oda May Brown. Wait a second. Is it... does it star Tom Hanks?
I'm not going to tell you who the fuck it stars. Yeah, yeah. Just make a guess.
I'm guessing... I'm going to guess it's either... I'm going to write down two guesses. I'm freestyling this shit. It's either A League of Their Own or Fried Green Tomatoes.
It is neither. The correct answer... Patrick Swayze.
Uh-huh. Ghost. Oh, who's Oda May Brown in that?
Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopsie Goldberg. She is the medium that is like, yo, this cat's trying to fucking get in touch with you.
Oh, okay.
Little Unchained Melody.
Right. Okay. Oda May Brown is that character's name in Ghost.
Indeed.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Goatsy.
Don't Google that. Whatever you do.
Goatsy. Don't.
Not safe for life.
How would you even spell Goatsy?
I'm not spelling it. I'm ending this meme. Okay. I'm sad I even said it.
Indeed.
Question number two for you is a astronomy question. Almost an astrology.
Astronomy question.
I don't know why, but I always like doubt which one I'm using is correct for those.
Me too.
You know?
I've fucked it up multiple times. Yeah. So.
Don't worry. No astrology here.
Okay.
Don't you worry. Ahuna Mons.
If you're on the cusp of what sign, are you a fucking complete bitch?
It's actually good knowledge. This is where I feel like I'm missing out. Sometimes I'll like watch Jeopardy or something and they ask a question about a constellation. And it's something that like, fuck, if I knew the astrological sign, I would have known that.
Yeah.
You know, oh, of course that's a crab. Here's the question though. Ahuna Mons is a cryovolcano. So it's a volcano that shoots ice instead of lava.
Whoa.
Yeah. It is located on Ceres, the dwarf planet Ceres, which is located between Mars and what other planet? It's in an asteroid belt. It's a dwarf planet, Ceres. Where is this ice volcano? I love that this thing exists. Shoots up like gases and ice shards
between Mars and what other planet?
Yeah.
Here's something embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, my very educated mother.
I like you're using this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is the first M Mars or Mercury? I think it's got to be Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talk about Martians all the time.
Yeah, we're Mars flying by Venus to go to Mars.
My very educated Earth, Mars. Just Jupiter. Further away from the sun, the better. So I'm going to say Jupiter.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. I'm glad you remembered that mnemonic device.
I remember being like, my very educated mother just served us nachos.
I think,
but it used to be nine pizzas because Pluto is a planet.
But now it's a dwarf planet.
And now it's a dwarf planet. It's been downgraded, downshifted.
Yep.
So now it's nachos.
I thought of a new one, actually, that we could use. Maybe vegans eat meat jokingly, somebody used napkins.
What the fuck is wrong with your brain?
It's just more modern. It's more modern.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a podcast theme one here too. Mark visited England. Meanwhile, joined Seth, upset nobody.
It sounded like you were making that up completely.
Well, I thought Mark I had it written down and I didn't. So
visited
I was...
England? You have Seth.
This is why I need the thank script. You. This is why I need the just script. Leave. Because I was doing that off the top of my head. All right. Failed bit.
Beautiful. No, it was good. It was good. I think you're going to get this one. What is the name of Springfield's baseball team in The Simpsons?
I do know this.
I thought you would. I know that our fartest friend, Justin Peterson, mm-hmm. who I believe we've talked about before on the podcast.
Yes, Beatles fan has written in on the misdirection.
Yes. He did. Well, you.
I was
go,
just
I
gonna
guess.
Say he just took me to see the hotel room where John Lennon signed the documents to dissolve the Beatles.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he brought us there. And said,
oh, yeah,
there,
you went to
was.
Orlando. How mm-hmm. was that?
It was great.
Awesome.
It was great.
Good deal.
Had a great time there.
But yeah, so, and he designed...
A jersey.
You can finish all of my...
Sentences.
Sandwiches. yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A jersey. And that definitely reinforced the memory. I might have been a little hazy on it if he hadn't done that, actually. But it is the Springfield Isotopes.
That is correct. The Isotopes.
And that episode is hilarious. I don't remember. I haven't watched it in quite some time. But isn't Daryl Strawberry like a guest in that
yes.
episode? And doesn't his head get real big like Willy Wonka style?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, boy. Right on, yeah. Can definitely do for a rewatch on The Simpsons. That especially that string of seasons, I think, 1 through 11 is usually what Simpsons fan agree upon as the highlights of that
the
show.
The golden
yeah.
years.
Conan O'Brien was a head writer on that.
Indeed.
At the time. And yeah. Here's a question for you.
Okay.
This is a history question. Celebrity history. Celebrities of the 19th century, the 1800s.
Okay.
Yeah. And I will say that we are going to hardest here. Nobody did get this right, but it's interesting, and I think everybody should know it.
Okay.
Evander Barry Wall. That's the guy's name. Evander Barry Wall. Ring any bells?
Nope.
Oh, man. Wait till you hear what he did. He was a wealthy socialite who lived in New York City during the late 19th century. For his refined fashion sense, in the summer of 1883... Evander Barry Wall was dubbed King of the Whats. What was he the king of?
One more time.
For his refined fashion sense, in the summer of 1883, Evander Barry Wall was dubbed King of the blanks.
Evander Barry Wall. That's three names?
That's his first, middle, and last, okay. Because that's how rich
I didn't
he
know
was.
Barry
that's
Wall
how rich he was. He had extra
name.
Names.
What's going on? My name is Evander Barry Wall.
Well, while you're thinking this over, I'll tell you a little bit more about this gentleman.
Okay.
He's credited with having owned over 500 pairs of trousers and over 5,000 neckties. He once won a bet by changing clothes 40 times between breakfast and dinner. But most importantly, probably... He was the first person credited with wearing a dinner jacket or a tuxedo to a ball, and it was considered bold for him to do so because he was considered to be underdressed, for his jacket had no coattails. So he was breaking down fashion boundaries. King of the what?
My first inclination, for whatever reason, is to say King of the Jackets. Or no, King of the Pants. But now I want to say King of the Jackets. King of them. It is a specific piece of clothing?
It's not.
It's not.
It's neither of those. It's King of the... It's like a group of people.
Aristocrats. I have no idea.
No. Evander Barry Wall was dubbed, and had to defend his title later, King of the Dudes. King of the Dudes.
King of the Dudes.
Yep. So that seems to be the origin of
all
that,
the young
of that
dudes?
Word.
Okay.
Or I don't know if that's the origin, but the popularization of it. Evander Barry Hall, first person to wear a tuxedo to a ball.
Is that what a dude is?
Wall went to the ball, I guess. Like a dude is another word for, like, I think related pages on Wikipedia to this would be dandies. Somebody that was sartorial in nature, fashion minded.
Gotcha.
And there also, yeah, look up a picture of this guy's in his outfits. He looks like he's out of a fucking Stanley Kubrick Clockwork Orange walking around. Like, I'd be curious. He looks like he's like in the 1970s, but it's the 1880s.
I'd be curious to know the Dude Ranch connection to this.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's definitely a Southwest thing.
Yeah.
You know, interesting. Okay. So that is my third question.
Do I have a third question for you?
I think you do.
Did I ask only two? Okay. What is the name of the last human city in the movie The Matrix?
Whoa. It's been a minute.
It's probably been a couple of years, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Unless you just wrapped up The Matrix before I got here.
You know, on my my YouTube algorithm has been suggesting that I watch a Matrix recap video. And now I'm regretting not having watched that.
The last human city in the Matrix is called what?
Speaking of the Matrix, you know, I feel like people talk about like AI being scary and taking over our brains and people getting chips implanted and other, I don't know if you saw that headline, but there's like, maybe it's even in Ireland. Some country people are getting like ID chips implanted in their skin.
Really?
Yeah. Computer chips. But anyway. I think it's kind of already happened, and this is kind of why we don't like having cell phones at
trivia.
This is
going to turn into a Joe Rogan podcast
just a little side note on this, because I do think I've pulled the answer, by the way. But I think it's already happened. I think that basically we're so motivated by the algorithms in our phones, people don't control the algorithms anymore. We've hit the singularity at this point. We're just riding it out now. Anyway,
interesting.
I think any Matrix fans might appreciate that theory that are listening, and they might know if I'm wrong or not, but I'm going to go with Zion.
Zion is correct.
All right.
Good job.
Yeah, man, I loved that movie. That movie blew my mind when I was like 13. My grandpa took me to the theater to see it, and it was just like existential overload for me.
Yeah.
And I look over and he's like sleeping. He's like, it's nap time. That's like, it's, you know, I'm going to take the kid to the movie and I'm just going to take a little nap, have some solitude.
I brought Lee to see the movie, The Matrix.
Yeah. And then we got out and I was like, what is reality?
And he's like,
eat your McDonald's.
Where did I put my wallet? Yeah. That movie was great. How did you feel about the sequels?
I enjoyed them, but I found them to be more confusing to me when I first watched them. And I never really went back and watched them. I feel like the first one is a really perfect movie. And you almost don't need the sequels.
I agree.
They can be enjoyable action movies, but they were worth watching.
We should rewatch them together.
Yeah, yeah. And I do have the Animatrix on DVD as well. And those are good. There's a lot of good anime on that. Anyway, that wraps up our third round. Stick around because we have some.
That winds up our second round.
What did I say?
Third.
Whoa.
Get a little ahead of yourself there.
Three pepper, number three. My mind is just on the threes lately. Our second round is wrapped up now. And we'll see you in the third round with some final questions. Sometimes we call it the final question round. Sometimes we call it the third round, you know. Yeah.
We are back.
We are back. Nice.
I didn't prepare to do that, so I didn't have much breath. And then I was like, what have I done?
And I can't sing.
I am so shallow. So here we are for the third round.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about this question is that it's such a widely known acronym. And I've asked this question before, and I even told everybody on Wednesday, I've asked this question before. You've probably been here and had the answer, but I feel like it is never.
It doesn't cement
yes.
in the people's minds. Have you asked it on the podcast? Is this another one of those? Okay. This is the first time.
Yes.
So I'm not sure if I've heard it. Maybe.
The question is.
Yeah.
What does the acronym NATO stand for? What does the acronym NATO stand for?
NATO.
Nancy.
Yeah.
Apple. Titty.
Are you giving me the answer right now? Is that it? Nancy Apple Titty Orange?
It is.
Nancy Apple Titty Orange.
That sounds like a title to me.
It does indeed. I like that you went to titty for tea.
I know. Well, that's the thing. I wanted to like make it a shocker right in the middle.
Yeah. None of those are the part of the NATO phonetic alphabet either. But no. They should make it. Nancy Apple Titty Orange.
Yes.
So it doesn't stand
Nancy
for that.
Nancy Apple Tiddly Orange. Tiddly.
Tiddly Orange. There you go. Slipping back into British slang, man. You got to don't absorb it. Just leave it over there. Leave it over there with the bangers and mash.
I did have bangers and mash.
Yeah, I saw. It was good. NATO. Well, national would be silly because it's a multi-nation organization. But maybe it's Nations Alliance Treaty Organization. That's like where I'm starting right now.
Okay.
And NATO, do you know anything about NATO off the top of your head?
I don't know much. I mean, I'm not an expert.
It was formed after, I believe, Seth is probably like yelling at the podcast right now. Huge history buff. But formed after World War II, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Nations Alliance Treaty Organization. That's definitely not right. Maybe Treaty Organization. I feel more confident about that half. So NA, Nancy Apple Treaty Organization.
Treaty Organization.
You know, I just I don't know this, so I'm gonna get it wrong. Unless it's I'll go with Nations Alliance Treaty Organization, but I'm pretty sure that's wrong.
You were on the right path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
North Atlantic.
Damn it.
Treaty Organization. And a lot of people got Treaty Organization. I feel like those are the two that everybody knows, but then it's like North American, people are like, and I would like go to teams and they'd be like, but it's not just North America. There are other countries involved.
Right.
But I think it's that North Atlantic. It's like kind of a weird
I'm really disappointed in myself on that one. I should have known that. I watch too much C-SPAN, but that's what makes
it such a good question, I think, is that we're so used to saying NATO.
You're right.
That we don't think about what it means. You know what I mean?
Yep. You're absolutely right on that. All right. Well, I've got a question for you now.
And
final
no one
question.
Got this right. I remember you telling me, right?
Yeah, no one got this one right.
No one got NATO right.
Okay.
Which is a shock to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is shocking.
I figured most people wouldn't know it, but
this one, I thought somebody would guess it. But nobody did.
All right. Maybe I'll be the one.
Oh, but I did hear there were people on the teams that were fighting for the correct answer and but it was not committed.
I got no one holding me down, baby.
Here we go. King Henry II had a court minstrel named Roland, who every Christmas would do a dance that included one jump, one whistle, and one what? All executed at the same time. A jump, a whistle, and what? All at the same time. Every Christmas, Roland would come into the hall and perform this move for King Henry II and court guests. One jump, one whistle, one what?
If you're jumping up in the air and you're whistling, you can't do really, I guess you could click your heels. You get two hands. But because I'm permanently 7 years old in my brain, I know that back then, there were people called flatulists that were very, who like their fucking deal, their thing was to fart on command. And I think it would be funny if someone jumped up and farted and whistled at the same time.
Is that your answer?
Yeah. I'm going to say fart.
You have 2 feet, you have 2 hands, and you also have 2 butt cheeks from which to fart.
Yes! God damn it.
Roland the Farter was gifted a manor house and 100 acres of land for this talent.
People every can Christmas, suck air in their ass.
One jump, one whistle, and one fart. Yeah. Whoop. Now, that does sound entertaining. 100 acres of land.
That is seems insane. A little steep
and insulting to just the layperson.
Yeah.
King Henry III.
Man, let me up there. I'll fart. I'll whistle and fart.
King Henry III agreed. And
give me 2 acres.
Took the land away.
I'll shit myself. I'll show you a good time.
Roland the Farter.
That is amazing.
The highest highs and the lowest lows.
That's one of those things. Remember when it was like, oh, they have 2 of what? And we were like, dicks would be funny.
Yep.
It feels funny and it feels right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I love slipping those in there. There was another question that I asked this week about what organ is the baculum in some rodents and rats? And nobody had the courage to write down the word penis. But there were, you know, it's always like the mom on the team that's like, I told you it was penis.
Right, right. Yeah. She's got like, she's like her third beer in. She's like, I told you it was the dick.
Yep.
Like,
oh. All right. That concludes this episode of No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
It feels so good to be back.
It's Lee. Great to have you back.
It's great
Mark.
To be back.
We look forward to joining you next week. My name is Lee Brushnighty. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at 3 Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Wednesday is at Bury Me Brewing Company, also in Fort Myers at 7. And every Thursday evening at No. 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starts at 7:30. A full range of events on our website, nononsensetrivia.com. Mark, where can you be found this Wednesday?
You can find me this Wednesday. Ow, ow, ow! If you're a late cat, you can come out.
If you are a late hep cat,
you can come out to Nice Guys Pints and Pies in historic downtown Cape Coral, Florida, from 9 to 10:30, giving away some t-shirts, giving away some beer, giving away some $25 bar tabs, or one at least, and good vibes, good spirits, good times.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you had fun. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite platform. We're on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, of course, Castro. We can't forget Castro.
Or over Castro.
You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, nononsense.fireside.fm, and clicking the support link at the top. Write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. It's been a minute since we had a rate my question.
Yeah, please. So, not just Taylor. Mm-hmm. Don't lump this all on Taylor.
It's
right?
Not her job.
I seriously. Their job. The poor woman's living her life. You know, can you let her just do her thing and you can send us a question?
Somebody else pick up the slack.
Yeah.
Pick up the slack.
Come on.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Don't forget also about our giveaway. Just share the podcast. Use the hashtag No Nonsense Trivia. We're going to announce a winner next week. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners, join us in our new organization, Nancy Apple's Titty Orange. Did I get that right? Is that what
Nancy Apple Titty Orange?